G'day gang, welcome back to another episode of Upcoming Attractions. We are getting back into the swing of things. We've had a very rocky year with me being in and out of the hospital, releasing some old test episodes, but we're ready to come back and bring you some new content. And we're experimenting with a new style. Wednesday, sorry guys, my cat is just really wanting getting on the podcast too. But yeah, we're experimenting with this new style. Basically, we want our YouTube channel to be able to grow as well. So we are trying to mix it up by having more targeted episodes. We want the podcast to stay the same, however. This episode, though, was a bit of a rocky road. So it kind of is going to sound like four different episodes sticky taped together. So that's where you're going to hear a little bit of extra music, a little few extra hellos and goodbyes. But moving forward, that's not going to be the case. We found a new way to work around that. This is what it's like when you're trying to make it on like 7,000 different social media platforms at the same time. But you know, you got to learn that in order to grow. And I'm very proud of our experimentation with the podcast and how we're doing that. So anyways, I hope you're ready for four awesome review discussions. We've got The Black Phone, we've got Prey, we've got Men, and we've got Orphan First Kill with a very special guest, comedian David Trong. So I hope you guys enjoy that, and let's get right into it here on Upcoming Attractions. G'day gang, welcome back to Upcoming Attractions. Today we are talking about Orphan First Kill. And today we are joined by fellow movie lover and comedian David Trong. Dave, how you doing, mate?
Oh, I'm good, man.
Fuck yeah, dude. All right, let's get right into it, man. First of all, this is a prequel. Have you seen the original Orphan?
Yes, the original one came out 13 years later. And it's pretty important to watch that before the prequel, but you can do vice versa.
Well, that's funny you said that because I missed the original film. So
what the fuck?
This is my introduction to the Orphan cinematic universe, I suppose. So, like, guys, we're gonna go into full spoilers. So if you haven't seen it, you could be spoiled like me, I guess. But just before we get into your overall thoughts, let me know: was there anything major that I should have known going into this? What do you think?
No, because the first one, the big twist is about, you know, Lena, how she's actually a lot older than she seems. So she's got that condition. That was the biggest twist in the first movie. So they already kind of mentioned that in the beginning of the second movie because she's in that mental institution. So that was the big twist. So it's not really.
Right.
Yeah. So when you watch the first one, it's not going to be like, oh my God, because you kind of already know that.
Yeah. I get
that
you.
Was the huge twist.
The tag is something like there's something wrong with Esther. I think her name's Esther, right?
Esther.
And so the idea, I guess, was like you discover, oh, the thing that's wrong about her is she's a serial killer and she's actually in her 30s. She's not 10 years old. Mm. This one has also a pretty crazy twist, which we'll get into. But before we do that, like, what are your overall thoughts on this film? Like, what do you reckon?
Because I watched the first one, right? And that came out 13 years ago. So I felt a bit funny when they made a prequel 13 years later. And I think the actress did a very good job, but it was really hard to be convincing that she's like that age, where she's obviously aged 13 years from the first movie. I think the actress did a very good job. I think the twist could have been better in the middle. I think that was a good twist, but I just felt... it was kind of like a whole rehash from the first movie. Because in the first movie, they tell you, oh, she's actually in her 30s. And the last family, she just massacred them. So you're kind of rewatching that anyway. Like, what's the point of making that into a movie where you kind of already know that? I wanted to know more about her origin story. Like, who were her real parents? Was she, like, abused? How did she kind of became who she is? But on the first kill, all you see is that she's from that mental place and she escapes. So I don't really think... it was a good origin story. I want to know more about you, and that's all I got. So what we got from number two, we already kind of knew from part one. That's all I'm saying.
Mm. Yeah, that kind of makes sense. I swear I've seen other films do this, but I can't think of an example where it's like, this is a prequel. This is where it all started, but it's not really how it all started. Like, we never saw it. Like, she's, 30-year-old pretending to be 10. We never saw her, like, what was she like when she was actually 10? What put her in the mental hospital? Let's going more into that. Like, the only real prequel-y stuff is, like, the first 10 minutes. And I got to say, I was a little bit disappointed when the first 10 minutes in the mental asylum, they had hyped up this other character, and she felt like the protagonist. I felt like, oh, I'm going to be following this character. And then she dies, like, 10 minutes into it. And I'm like, whoa, dude, like, what movie are we watching here? So it's kind of like has to restart all over again. Yeah, the teacher, that's right. And it's almost like we have two, like, it's like we had a short film and then we had the actual film. It's like they had to reintroduce the characters twice. It was a bit bizarre. Look, I won't lie, I had some moments where I'm like, okay, this is an adult playing a kid. But I thought the CGI was convincing, as in putting her face on the body, but like you could tell she's not super young, but I don't know if that's on purpose or whatever. But yeah, look, let's get into that twist, because that twist was kind of bonkers. The big reveal is that the family she's adopted by is serial killers as well. They killed their son. And now they're forcing Esther to play along, to hide this from the father. What did you think of that, man?
They killed the daughter.
Daughter, yeah.
I thought it was a good twist. So, because the whole time you think like the mum's like, oh, there's something wrong with her. It's definitely not her. But the whole time she knew it was not the right one, because she knows the daughter's already dead and she and the son buried the body. And I feel like they kind of should have explained how they killed the daughter. I think it was just like an accident, but maybe give a bit more detail. Like, was it on purpose? Was it an accident? But that was a good twist when the mum shoots the Japanese cop. I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I did not see that coming.
I didn't see that coming at all.
I think that's the big – you know what? I think it's both the biggest strength and biggest weakness of this movie, because on one hand, like, they sort of hint at it pretty well, but like the execution of it was really well done, which I think was great. And that kind of created this weird dynamic with the son and the mother and all that. And I'm not sure the actress's name who played the mom, but she was actually pretty great, I think. But the problem is, once you find that out, it sort of stops becoming a horror movie and starts becoming a thriller.
Yeah.
Because you're not really scared, because you know that she can defend herself. She's a killer as well. I felt similar about have you seen Don't Breathe 2 by any chance?
No, I've seen the first one. Should I watch the second one? It kind of sounds like it's more of the same.
Nah.
Okay.
The first one is fucking awesome. I highly recommend the first one. Second one, it sort of becomes an action film. It feels like it should be Don't Breathe 3, because they refer to all these other events that happen in between the movies.
Mm.
But basically, the killer is trying to defend a girl from like some robbers. And so while it does have some horror elements, it doesn't feel like a horror movie anymore. And they're trying to make you're trying to root for the killer. And that's happening in this movie too. Except this one's a lot better, I would say. Mm. Like you're sort of rooting for the killer because she's kind of the good guy in a way. And it feels like a bit of a genre sort of change. I still liked it though.
Watch the first one. And then let's talk, because I think the first one was phenomenal. It was just so much better. The pacing, the twist, the ending. Like this one, after you know the big twist from the first kill, you kind of like, it's just a cat and mouse game. It's just one of them's going to die. And it's quite obviously obvious that she kills the family because it's a prequel. It's just, I feel it was kind of a good build up, and it's just a slow burn afterwards. It's just...
Speaking of slow burn, the ending of the movie with the house on fire, I couldn't help but think, okay, so like there's the husband and wife, the wife and Esther, they're both about to fall off the house, and I'm there looking at like, there's no fucking way this is gonna kill her. And then she falls off, she hits her head on the freaking like gutter, and so this woman dies. Like, oh, okay, fair enough. But then when the husband falls off and he fucking lands almost the exact same spot, hitting his head and dying. So come on, bro. That's too much of a fucking coincidence. Like, if I was a cop, the first thing I would be like is like, how the fuck did both of these people die from falling off the thing? And I think this movie really plays a lot into what a lucky coincidence. Like, she just happens to find an American family that she can pretend to be the daughter of. Like, a bit too lucky, I would say.
I'd say what I did enjoy before he got killed, the police guy that was kind of investigating, he's getting fingerprints, he's like sussing it out, because he was on the case when the daughter went missing and he never filled it. Right? So that's why he's like, oh, now she's back. How is that even possible? So I think that could have been good, but they just killed him off pretty easily, like nothing.
Yeah, I do think he was one of the more interesting characters, and he brought in a bit of drama to it. What sucks, though, is like him dying was one of the – was like what made the twist good as well. So it's kind of like a, you know, double-edged sword there. Look, I'm going to be honest. It was a little while since I've seen this movie. I'm just trying to remember – is there anything else that really stood out to you, or any other thoughts or comments you can think of?
If you haven't seen the first one, watch the first one. The second one, I would have skipped it, and it's not like you're missing out on anything, because everything they say in the first one is foreshadowed in the second one. So it's just like they tell you what happens already. So it just kind of felt like it was so redundant. But the first one, loved it. I love the first one. I thought it was it's like the idea. No one thought of like an idea like that before. So that was really stood out to me.
I do remember a story reading this ages ago. I think it was on like Reddit or something, but there was like a Russian girl. It was a similar situation. Like, she was adopted or something, but she was actually an adult and she wasn't a killer or anything. But I think she tried to like steal stuff or something. So there is actually precedence of this being possible, which is crazy. One last thought about Orphan First Kill. It just came to me now. The son, fuck, he's a cunt.
I
want to punch that dude in the head so many times. The spoiled rich boy, freaking bastard of an asshole. Like, I just wanted to deck him. I'm glad he died.
he got a pretty painful death, and he kind of deserved it. Like, he was like kind of like using the swords, and he got shanked like 50 times. I'm like, yeah, you kind of, I don't feel bad for you at all.
Yeah, that's great. Anyways, thank you for joining us today. Let's wrap things up real quick, because I know we're pressed for time. Real quick, do you have anything you want to plug?
I'm going to be in the Sydney Fringe Comedy Festival. It's called Western Sydney Showcase. It's going to be myself, Jamal Abdul, Free of Disguise, Riv Narak. We're going to be on the 1st and the 2nd of October. Links in the bio. It's going to be great. We're going to do 15 minutes each. Just come on down.
Hell yeah. And I'm a Western Sydney boy too. So much love. Much love, man. Anyways, that's been us for Upcoming Attractions. Be sure to check us out on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, wherever. And don't forget, find us on iTunes and Spotify as well. Much love. And until next time, ladies. Sure.
Thanks, man.
G'day, gang. Welcome back to Upcoming Attractions. Today, we are talking about Men, the film Men, not just men in general, directed by Alex Garland, and it's one of the new horror films from A24. With me today is my co-host, Jesse. Jesse, how you doing, mate?
Good, Matty. It's good to be back again, blowing the dust off the old camera equipment and sound equipment. We're rocking and rolling once again on the podcast, so it's been very good.
Hell yeah, dude. Yeah. For those that don't know, we've been releasing a lot of old previous test episodes for a while. This is one of our first brand new spanking ones with our new format. We're releasing episodes just about the episode, just about the films we're talking about. So let's get right into it. Men, what were your overall thoughts and opinions on this one?
I really enjoyed it. It's not my favorite Alex Garland film. I think I'd reserve that for possibly Annihilation, but I really, really enjoyed it. It's very odd, it got very, very weird, and I was kind of expecting that going into it because it's an A24 movie, but very, very slow build up, and then like I think it was like the last 10-15 minutes, it just like throws all this shit at you, and you're just like, oh, okay, that just happened.
The last 15 minutes of this movie is fucking bonkers.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen this movie, guys, it might be worth watching for the last 15 minutes. I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying it's something you've definitely never seen before.
Yeah.
So if you want something different, that scene is definitely different. yeah, man, Alex Garland's a great director. For those who don't know, he did Ex Machina. He's done Annihilation.
Yeah.
Both of those films are like Ex Machina is like pretty much a perfect film to me. I think it's so good. And Annihilation's also great. He really loves themes on, I feel like, femininity and stuff. And that's really the focus of this film, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I felt like I was – well, I saw it with a mate of mine, and after the movie we were kind of discussing the meanings of certain scenes. There's that one scene out in the front yard. You know the scene I'm talking about. Are we spoiling it, or are we just going to leave it?
Yeah, let's do spoilers. Let's get right into it.
So basically there's this, the green man, the grass – I can't remember. He's got a specific name. It's in folklore or whatever. He births – one person who births another person who births another person, and it's very disgusting and awesome and weird, and I felt defiled. But my mate and I were just kind of discussing the whole meaning behind that ending and the film, and we kind of saw it as her a personification of the main character's grief from the death of her husband, but we also saw it as her perception of her fear of men, being around men, her anxiety around men, and I guess it's like, you know, a metaphor for how sometimes women feel being around unknown men. They might feel threatened or whatever. Or so that's how we kind of it was kind of interesting, because you get certain films where you discuss the ending and what it meant, and this is definitely one of those films where you really had to, you know, bounce off one another and you know, try and get a figure of what it all meant. And sometimes that's a good thing and sometimes that's a bad thing. I would say though, while I did enjoy the movie, I kind of felt like Alex Garland could have been a bit more concise with the message he was trying to bring across. I kind of get what he was saying, but maybe a little bit more concise, but you know, it's kind of a nitpicky kind of complaint, but
I agree. Like, I feel like, so this film, it's not like a typical movie where they're trying to have realistic characters and realistic storytelling. It's very poetic and metaphorical. Like, every scene is representative of a message, I would say. And it took me a while to get it, because I went in not really knowing what it was, and about halfway through the film I'm realizing almost every guy she meets looks very similar.
Yeah.
Turns out they're all played by the same actor, and they're all kind of just representing, from my understanding, how men often blame their problems on women
I didn't even know it was the same actor. I'm like, I didn't find it until after the movies. I had no idea. Didn't even.
My girlfriend, like, Kate, was exactly the same. She didn't recognize it either.
Because I was looking at the schoolboy who was like, who gave me like a really weird, like that's the school kid. I'm like, that school kid looks so fucking weird. Is it like an older man's playing this school kid or whatever? Like, it looks so weird. Couldn't I get a child actor or something? And it didn't even click with me until we finished the film and I'm looking up on IMDb and I'm like, oh, Rory Kinnear played every single man in that village. It was just like bizarre. So yeah.
It took me a while to figure it out. It was just like, I think it was the chin. I started realizing, oh, these guys have very similar chins. Mm. And it's like, oh, wait, it's the same guy. And I said to my girlfriend, the next one, I think it's the same guy. And she's like, don't be dumb. And then it's like towards the end, she's like, oh, it is the same guy. I'm like, okay, so I'm not crazy, right? Mm. But I think that ties more into like the themes of the film. Like at the time, it felt weird. But when I sit back and reflect on it, I'm like, oh, I get sort of like, men are all the same or something like that, or you know, this perception of it is. It's very, look, I respect the message of the film, but I feel like I like it when movies, when they have a metaphor or a message, I like it if the metaphor or satire or whatever works on two levels. I feel like this only works in one. Like, the metaphor is very surface level, but I think that's by design. I think it's by intention. I think it's like, cause it's meant to be like a folk tale or something, like, or a parable that Jesus would tell, you know, it's very literal, in the way that it's demonstrating what it's trying to say. And so it's meant to be weird, But A24 love weird. They fucking love weird movies.
That's why I love them. And that's why we love you, A24.
I'll admit, like, I'm not, like, the art house style of horror sometimes isn't for me. This movie, personally, I don't think it's not really for me. Like, I prefer my storytelling to be more
straightforward.
I don't know if straightforward's the word, because I don't mind if a movie is confusing and stuff. Like, Tenet fucks my head from all different sides, but I still love Tenet. I think I just want it to be more traditional in the sense of the way they tell this story. And this one, it's more...
I think you really like the blockbusters.
Whereas, I do, but also, I don't mind an artsy film. It's just like... For example, that birthing scene at the end where the guy has a back vagina or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like that in the reality of the story, that didn't happen. I feel like it's like a vision, or it's like a hallucination or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
It's another way to deliver the message, but it's not realistic. Like, the world had not set up that to be a thing. It was just more the way, it was like the director's hammering home the message just in a more visual way.
Yeah.
And I respect that. There's definitely a place for stuff like that. So I'm not saying it's bad. It's just like, I'm not, that's not the type of film I usually tend to appreciate, that makes sense.
I absolutely froth those art house thrillers, like, you know, the metaphorical scenery and symbolism, and I love all that shit, and that's why I love A24 so much, because they do a lot of those art housey kind of indie kind of flicks, and so I love stuff like this. So this was definitely more up my alley compared to most films that are out in the cinemas.
I definitely don't think it's bad. I want to make that clear.
No, like, it's not bad.
I'm not going to trash this movie, because I really respect what it's doing, and I think what they're doing, it involves a little bit of wit. It's a little clever with what it's doing. I feel like it could have been more clever if they found a way to do the metaphor that worked on, like, where, oh, this actually happened, but it means this, which is something that, like, you know, but I still, like, I really respect what they did there, because it does get you talking about it, right? Like, when you leave the cinema, it's a movie you want to talk about with your friends and stuff.
Mm. Which is what I literally did. I met, like, my mate and I literally were chatting about it. The ending, we were in the car heading back home, like, oh, what did this mean? Oh, what did that mean? Like, what did you think this meant? Like, and I love shit like that, so.
Me too. Like, that's half the fun of having a podcast, right? We get to talk about the movies and, like, we get to theorize and stuff. But, like, for me, it's like just because it gets you talking, sometimes it makes me think, did they think all this out properly or all the way through? Like, I don't know if it's as deep as it's trying to look deep, but I don't know if it's as deep as it implies. And that's when I get frustrated, but maybe I'm just an idiot. Maybe that's the beauty of it. I don't know. Any other thoughts or comments or opinions on this movie, man?
I'd just say shout out to Jesse Buckley and Rory Kinnear for two very good performances. As I said, really enjoyed it. Not the best Alex Garland or A24 movie. Bits, lines, paces, and message could be a little bit clearer. But besides that, very solid. Definitely not a bad film. A very solid, decent movie, especially if you like those art housey, symbolic kind of drama thriller kind of films. So, yeah.
Yeah, I would recommend it if you're looking for something different, or, you know, a little less cookie cutter, or if you're really into movies with, like, feminist type themes. Like, I am, look, guys, I'm perfectly aware this movie is called Men, and it's two men talking about it. The irony is not lost on
you.
But it's also directed by a man, so do with that with what you want. I do remember when it came out, there was some criticism about the perspective and how it felt like it was written by a dude, and it was, but I'm not smart enough to go into that type of detail.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, if you're into that, if you're looking for something like that, definitely recommend it. Anyways, I think that's it for us today. Upcoming attractions. I hope you enjoyed our chat about Men. If you want to hear us talk about other movies, we've got plenty more on the channel. Be sure to follow us. If you want the audio version, iTunes, Spotify, and for all the fun clips out there, follow us on TikTok and Instagram. Anyways, that's it for us today. I'm Matt, that's Jesse, and until next time,
see you later.
Laters. G'day, gang. Welcome back to Upcoming Attractions. Today, we are talking about the newest Predator film, Prey. And with me, as always, is my co-host, Jesse. Jesse, how you doing, bro?
Good, Matty. Good. Very exciting film to talk about today. High hopes for this one. So, yeah, I think we just crack onto it.
All right. So, I've got an idea. I'm going to spring this on you by surprise. But before, just to get an idea of how today's going to go, rank all the Predator movies and don't include Alien vs. Predator.
So don't include the Alien vs. Predator movies?
Yeah, I feel like they shouldn't count, mate.
Well, plus, I'm going to include them anyways.
Okay, so. Include them anyway. Okay, fine. Rank all the Alien vs. Predator movies and go.
Okay. Predator, the first Predator, obviously is number one. I would rate Predators probably second. I know it gets a lot of shit, but I actually really enjoyed that movie. Then Predator 2, and I'd probably put Prey around that area. And then way down the bottom, I'd put Alien vs. Predator. Then I'd put way down below that, Alien vs. Predator Requiem and The Predator.
I'm close. I think for me it would be, except I like Prey a lot more. I think it goes, The Predator, obviously, at this point, it's such a classic, it'd be offensive to even consider anything else. But I would put the next one, I go Predator, then Prey.
Wow, okay.
And then I would go Predators, which I agree with you. Predators does not get enough recognition. That movie is freaking great.
Yeah.
And then after Predators, I would go Predator 2, then Alien vs. Predator, Alien vs. Predator Requiem, and The Predator. And honestly, it's been so long since I've seen Alien vs. Predator Requiem. I might even swap it with The Predator because...
I wouldn't blame you. They're both fucking terrible movies. Yeah. They're both fucking terrible.
With The Predator, like, it's bad. It is, but it's also just, it's taking the Predator franchise and putting it in the wrong genre. But when you look at it as a generic blockbuster that for some reason has gore in it, like, I guess it's not offensively terrible. It's just offensively terrible to the franchise it's portraying, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's still like, that's not a compliment.
No.
But anyways, let's talk about Prey. What are your overall thoughts? What'd you think of Prey?
I liked it. I didn't love it. It wasn't as good as I wanted it to be. Because when I first found out about, you know, it was set during the, when I found out it was like Native Americans fighting off against the Predator, I'm like, oh, what a cool concept, putting the Predator back in time, you know, during the, like, kind of the colonial times or whatever. And I thought that was such a good idea and a great concept. And I think that's where I've heard that's where they've kind of heading off with the Predator franchise now, doing different periods of time, which I'm all for.
I've heard people online say that, but I don't know if it's confirmed. I just want to say possible Disney's correction.
Disney's a good idea. Disney, do it. It's a good idea.
I'm all for it. It'd be cool. Yeah, I wouldn't lie.
But just... there's parts I liked and other parts I just thought were a bit weaker. I thought the movie was not as gritty as I wanted it to be. I felt like it was very Disney-fied in some areas. Like there's a lot of, whenever the Predator killed someone, it would, like there was a lot of blood, but whenever I felt the Predator would kill someone, the camera would cut and you wouldn't see it. There's a lot of like Predator about to decapitate someone and then the camera would cut. Or the Predator's about to kill someone, the camera would cut. I thought the CGI was pretty piss poor in some areas, especially the bear. I thought the bear looked really bad. But I thought my favorite scene in the whole movie was the scene where the Predator's fighting the French dudes in that valley they've tied the two main,
yeah,
the brother and sister up on the tree, and the predator like marches in and just like fucking wipes out all the French dude. Which I gotta say, by the way, if you're seeing some alien creature like eviscerate your mate, would you just be like, nah, fuck this, I'm out of here. Like, this guy's
but where do you run? There's nowhere to run in that, it's just miles of nothing. If it was in a city, you could hide in a building, but
just run away from it. Don't try and fight it. Like, you're not going to win.
Yeah, I reckon you've got a better chance of fighting in numbers than running away. Because if you run away, he's going to track you down. He's going to kill you. At least you got your boys to fight with you.
But they had, like, they literally had him down in, like, a net. And they had, like, the predator stepped on two traps. And they literally had him down in a net. And then the predator just fucking wiped all the net, like, just chopped him up like minced meat. And, like,
They had no chance, no matter what.
I like the fact that this predator as well was more primitive, had more primitive weapons. It didn't have the side cannon thing it usually has.
Yeah.
All the weapons were more primitive, the way it killed and whatnot. So I love that. I heard a theory that this was the first predator that the predator race sent to Earth to hunt, which I thought was an interesting concept as well because the weapons were more primitive. I liked the main character. I thought she was good. And I liked her. I really liked her brother as well. I thought he was really good. I thought his last stand against the predator was really cool.
Yeah.
When he's firing like the arrows or whatever. I will say though, I did think, because I know a lot of people had an issue with the main chicks. I'm gonna find out her name because it's really bad.
I think it's, if I'm not mistaken, I think the character's name is Naru.
Naru, yes.
And the brother is, I think it's Tabi.
Yes.
Guys, just disclaimer real quick. We are two Australians from the western suburbs of Sydney. We have no connection to the indigenous Americans or any of their tribes. So please forgive us for any lack of knowledge. Don't cancel us, please.
I would say, like, I didn't have a problem with, like, a lot of people had a problem with her being the main character. I didn't have a problem with that. But what I did felt like was the one scene that kind of took me out of it a bit is the scene where she's like fighting all the French trappers and she kills like four or five of them or something like that in like one go. And I'm like, not very realistic, but, you know, whatever. I'll just run with it, you know. I did like the way that she killed the predator though. I liked the fight she had with the predator because she used her smarts. She didn't use brute force to kill the predator. So she set his helmet up, and I like that. But the scene with the French trap, I just didn't find it. Took me out of it. I didn't think it was really.
She's a hunter, so I don't think it's not like she's like a freaking typical housewife or something. So like,
I know that. But I'm willing to
suspend my disbelief a little bit, but I will say, like, I think the best thing about this movie, the one thing this movie does that the other Predator sequels do not do is it captures the spirit of the first Predator movie by touching on like the smarts. So like in the first one, Arnold Schwarzenegger, he learns, oh, if I cover myself in mud, he can't see me. He's like learning about the predator. So he's almost like a predator himself, in order to defeat him. And this main character, she's also doing the same thing. Like she learns how the laser thing works. So she sets up the helmet and stuff like,
which I thought was such a good idea, such a good concept to kill the predator.
Yeah, it's so good. And that's what they really did right. That's what all the other Predator movies lacking, that sense of hunter and prey, learning how to hunt each other. That was great. And I think that's why this really works with using the Native Americans, because they have the hunter culture and all that. It's a really well done in that aspect. I will say, a lot of people are saying, oh, maybe the key of making the Predator movies good is putting the Predator in different time periods. But I don't think that's what makes this movie good. I think what makes this movie good is they put him in a time period around like a culture that is good at hunting and stuff.
Yeah.
If you just
it's like a warrior culture.
Yeah.
Against each other, which, yeah.
And that's what works. So if you put him like with samurai, that might be cool.
Yeah.
But like samurais aren't hunters, they're just warriors. So it'd be cool, but for different reasons. But if you just put him in like, I don't know, England and try and make him Jack the Ripper, I don't think it's going to be as good. It won't work, you know? No. If you just put him in medieval times and have knights and swords and shields fight him, that's not going to be as good. So this whole idea of different time periods, it's cool, but only around certain like cultures.
It's got to be the right. Like it's got to be the right time period.
Yeah, and I think Native Americans in that time period, great idea. That's a winner, and clearly because this has broken records. I think it was for HBO or no Hulu. It was broken records for Hulu.
I just wish they would have gone the full route and had them all speak Comanche, just do subtitles.
Did they?
They had
a little bit, right?
They did have a little bit, but they did a. There's two versions. They dubbed the Comanche voices, but I would have rather them have just gone the full route and just had them speak Comanche and just make it more gritty. Don't cut away the predator. Make it more gritty. That's how I would have done it.
No, I agree. I think this movie plays it a little bit safe by though it. It feels like they had a really great script and they were like, we got to make it safer or cheaper. Like I really, really wish if I could make one change to this film is that I wish they shot it on film instead of digital.
Yes.
Cause it's really sharp and it's pretty, but like the storytelling is so authentic and well done that it just makes you feel like this movie really wants to be shot on film. It's screaming like, please shoot me on film. And it's not. And like, I'm not saying it ruins the movie, but that would have added to it. Yeah. And again, something that sort of knocks back. You said before that they Disney-fied the CGI. And I agree.
I think they Disney-fied the film in general, just like the violence, the CGI. It's very, you can tell there's a lot of studio like influence there, you know.
Well, what it is, I think, is this is a common problem with movies nowadays. And I don't think it's so much let's make it less violent. I think it's more of a money thing because doing CGI blood and guts is so much cheaper. I'd like to point everybody to the new Mortal Kombat movie, which everyone's like, oh, it's got fatalities, it's got gore, it's got blood, and it all looks fake. Like when you watch something like Saw, the blood and gore looks real because they're practical effects, they're practical things. In this, it's all CGI, it's fake. And just like Predator and like Mortal Kombat and a lot of these other new movies that try and do gore, it looks shit when it's CGI. So I really wish they used practical stuff there.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. It just looks so much better. It just looks so much more realistic and.
Any other thoughts or comments on this movie?
Yeah, I'd just say, you know, I thought it was good. I was hoping for a bit more. I know it's controversial because everyone's loving this movie at the moment as like a Predator film. I think it's actually gotten higher ratings than the original Predator, which to me is just fucking stupid, but whatever.
No, but look, if a modern audience is watching the original Predator, it's going to look real cheesy to them, right?
True.
So like, it's like Star Wars, right? When we grew up in Star Wars, it was the fucking best. If you watch the old Star Wars now for the first time, like, why is this Sesame Street puppets everywhere? What's with the bad acting? And we're just there like, bro, you don't get it. That's Darth Vader. Hey,
it's off the time, Matthew. It's off the time.
That is true.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was good. Didn't think it was great. I was hoping for a little bit more, but I'm not – let's just – put it this way, I don't have the same reaction that I had when I was with you and we saw the Predator afterwards. And I just had like a look of just, I feel like I just got defiled there and my eyeballs were touched inappropriately. And I was just sad and depressed after watching the Predator. God, what a fucking trash film. This one, I was just like, it could have been better, but I'm not sorely disappointed.
Totally, man.
So,
oh yeah, I agree. Actually, you know what? No, I really did enjoy this movie. I admit there were some things that could have been a little bit better, but I'm just really hoping for a Prey 2 or another Predator film from the same creative team because they were really, it was really good filmmaking was put into this, which is more than I can say for last bunch of Predator films.
Yeah, the last several. But I would say they need the Predator to win for once.
Ooh.
They need to do it. They need to do it for one movie. They need to do it for one movie where the Predator actually wins.
I'm okay with that. Like the Predator originally was kind of like a little bit of a slasher, not fully, but like if you want to go full slash with the Predator, I would say that'd be, or if you want to go full horror with the Predator, make him win in the end. That'd be pretty. Make us think that the hero won, and then out of nowhere, Predator wins. Mm. I'd be down for that. Hell yeah. Anyways, I think that's it for us today at Upcoming Attractions. If you like Prey, be sure to give it a watch, or don't. It doesn't affect me either way. But do watch Upcoming Attractions. You can watch us on YouTube. You can see our clips on TikTok and Instagram. And you can listen to the audio version of the podcast on Spotify, iTunes, wherever else you like to hear your favorite podcasts. Until next time, I'm Matt. That's Jesse. We love you. Laters.
Cheers.
G'day, gang. Welcome back to Upcoming Attractions. As always, I'm Matt. That's Jesse. And today we are talking about The Black Phone, directed by Scott Derrickson. So I had a bit of hype for this movie coming in. Famously, Scott Derrickson stepped away from Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness to direct this. So that had a little bit of hype, but also just had a really good trailer. I think a lot of us were pretty stoked on it. Yeah, and I'll just get into my thoughts straight away. So from Blumhouse, I like this movie. It was the time period was interesting. So in the 70s, this concept of a kid sort of kidnapped and trapped in like a child's trapped in this basement, and you can talk to the previous victims on the phone. It was pretty cool. I thought it was really well directed. This might be, I'm going to say, I think it's Scott Derrickson's maybe best work, possibly, that I've seen him do at least. I really like the actors, the child performance actors. I love that mask he's wearing, the killer mask. Like that was awesome. But yeah, overall, I had a pretty good time. Not a whole lot to say about it there, other than it was a fun watch. What do you reckon, man?
Yeah, I totally agree with all your points. I thought the child actors were very good, the brother and sister. I loved that concept of the fact that he was getting calls from the previous victims and they were kind of trying to tell him how to get out, you know, and talking about their experiences with the killer and what happened. And I just thought it was geniusly made. It gave me very big Stephen King vibes. And then we found out that Stephen King's son actually wrote the source material, the short story. I think it was a short story. Yeah, it was very Stephen King vibes. And I thought Ethan Hawke was good, even though he didn't really, you know, I just thought he played a very interesting killer. And his mask was very sick as well. I remember, because we all saw it as a group in the cinemas, and I remember that scene where Ethan Hawke's sitting in the chair shirtless waiting for the kid. And I remember, Matt, your girlfriend was just turning to me just like, oh, yuck. And I was like, man, that's Ethan Hawke. He used to be a star back in the day. Like
back in the day. Speaking of Ethan Hawke, I got to say, so my fellow Marvel fans will back me up here. This film came out shortly after, I think, Moon Knight finished, where he played the bad guy in that. And after seeing him play such a great villain in Moon Knight and then a great villain in The Black Phone, let's just make every villain Ethan Hawke. Like, seriously, he's a great bad guy. I want to see a lot more bad guys from Ethan Hawke.
He's very good. I loved it was set in the 70s, a lot of 70s vibes. It was very 70-ish thrill. I guess it was more thriller than horror.
Yeah, it was. I was expecting it to be horror. Yeah, I was expecting it to be more horror, but no, it's more of like a mystery sort of thriller, supernatural thriller type thing.
Yeah, and it gave me a lot of 70s vibes. Obviously, it's set in the 70s, but a lot of like those 70s era thrillers, horrors, films. I like the fact that the girl had the powers, like the what would you call it, the like so she had visions and stuff like that.
Stuff.
It's very Stephen Kingish. I don't want to say it's Stephen Kingish, but he does a lot of that kind of stuff. And I like that concept and how she was helping the police. Find a Brother, and I just thought it all connected really well. It was just a very well-made movie. And it's, yeah, it's one of the better, I don't know if you'd call it a blockbuster, but it's one of the better, I guess.
Big budget horror films, maybe. Yeah.
Movies I've seen in the cinemas in a while. Yeah, I just thought it was a very, very well done film, and I really, really, really enjoyed it. And I don't really think I have many complaints about this movie, to be honest. The only thing there's a couple of like plot inconsistencies where I didn't buy the fact that the guy's brother had no idea any of this was happening. He had no idea. Like, I know he was on drugs. Was he on cocaine or something like that? Or
I think there was a scene of him snorting coke. But like, dude, there is no fucking way realize that. Like, the door is right fucking there. He's like, oh, my brother tells me never open the door. As if one day you just go, maybe I should open that fucking door. Maybe, you know? No. Plus, you are like this guy who's obsessed with like looking for this killer. You never think to open a fucking door in your own house? Like, come on.
Like, you think one day you're like, oh, I wonder what's down there. I haven't been down in the basement in a while. You know, I just did not buy the fact that the brother didn't. I didn't even really buy the fact that Ethan Hawke. I don't know if I'd buy the fact that Ethan Hawke would kill his own brother. And kill him in the way that he did with the axe.
I mean, he's willing to kidnap a kid and kill kids. Like, it's not that much of a stretch, is it?
I buy him kidnapping kids more than he kill his own. I don't know. I've got a brother. I would never hurt my brother. So,
you're just a nice, lovable guy, Jesse. Not everyone's as nice as you. But I will say, the brother, great performance. He was really funny. It was great.
I thought him and Ethan Hawke were a great performance, but yeah, no, I just, that was probably the main plot inconsistency. I'm like, I'm sorry, I just do not buy the fact that the brother just had no fucking clue about his brother taking kids. He's like, goes downstairs, like, oh, what are you doing here? Oh, like,
it's like, it would have been maybe cool if like he turns out he was like in on it or something or whatever, but yeah, man, it was, it was a bit nuts.
And does his brother ever go downstairs and then see Ethan Hawke just sitting shirtless, you know, in the kitchen, just thinking, mate, what are you doing? Are you just, what's going on? Are you just having a late night sit? Just get your shirt off?
Just imagine that conversation. Hey, why are you sitting in the kitchen in your underwear? It's for a thing. No, what's the thing? Oh, just don't worry about it. Go upstairs. Like, oh, hey, by the way, it looks like you're looking at that door a lot. What's in the door? Oh, nothing. Is there a child down there by any chance? Because you know I'm really into looking for child killers. Nah, man.
He's like, I'm doing method acting for my next entertainment gig when I'm going to the next kid's party. Just doing like a...
That would just be such a bizarre thing. You walk downstairs to find your brother / roommate completely naked in a mask, sitting in your fucking kitchen, just balls hanging out. It's like, dude, like the food is right next to you. Like, don't get your pubes on the fucking apples, okay?
I would have loved to. I would have loved to do. I know that they would never ever do this, but I'd love like a. Maybe like a prequel or just something to give more backstory. I know it wasn't necessary to have backstory about Ethan Hawke's killer because you know a bit, but you don't know a lot.
Yeah.
They just give you a little bit about him. I would have loved to have known a little bit more about him. I mean, I'm not saying that necessarily as a critique of the movie because it wasn't entirely necessary. But at the same time, I was so interested in Ethan Hawke's killer. I wanted to know a little bit more about him. Like, you know.
Yeah.
What I don't know, like, was he brought up with trauma? You know, like, just a little bit more about him, I would have been interested in. But that's not, that's not so much as a critique of the movie because I thought the movie was very, very solid. So,
I just found this on Wikipedia. I'll read this out to you. Potential sequel. In June 2022, Derrickson said that while Hill was protective of his story, the author had pitched him a wonderful idea for a sequel that he was open to directing if the first film was a success. In August, Derrickson and Hill confirmed there were discussions at the studio to make a sequel. Derrickson referred to the financial success of The Black Phone as one of the catalysts for the development of the project. Hill said his inspiration to writing a sequel was based off the iconic imagery of the grabber's masks. Jesse, would you be interested in seeing a sequel to The Black Phone?
Yes, I would be, especially after how good the first movie was, the movie was, Black Phone was. But I'm always very, very skeptical when you hear there's going to be a sequel to a horror film that was very well received, even though we felt like it was more of a thriller than a horror. Yeah. So I would, but I'd be skeptical.
I got to say, like, I have no idea where the hell you would take that story. Like, they said there's something about the origin of the masks or something, but, like, is there going to be a new phone? Is it going to be a Motorola or an iPhone?
Like, just a flip phone. You know? All right, bro, you died, did you? What do I do now? How do I get out of here?
I don't know. Could be. Yeah, I guess we'll see if there is a Black Phone sequel.
They just send like GIFs. Describe how you get out of the situation you're in.
You just get like send a photo of a window. Oh, I want you to open the window. Ah, oh, got you.
I'd be down, but yeah, just be, you know, because let's be honest, horror franchises don't really have a good track record when it comes to sequels. So as long as, you know, but I guess if it's left in Joe Hill's hands to write a sequel to it, I don't know, maybe it could be good. I would say though as well, I forgot to mention this during the review.
Yeah.
I thought the way Ethan Hawke's character kind of died. I can't remember. He tripped over, didn't he? And then the kid kind of just beat him to death or something. Or?
It's whilst I've seen it, but as I recall, part of his plan was
we saw this like how long we saw like I don't know,
a couple months ago.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, he breaks something on the floor, so the guy's foot gets stuck in there or something, or he falls down there, and then he, I think, beats the shit out of him or something.
Yeah.
This is embarrassing.
I would have rather a more, I guess, final kind of death, more of a more graphic death.
More memorable,
more graphic, because I kind of found it. Well, I remember when I was watching, I'm like, yeah, I guess he could die from that.
That's right. I remember. Yeah, I got it here. So the ghost taunts the killer over the phone, and then he has, like, I think it's a phone cord. Yeah, I think it's kills the killer. Well, he has the phone cord around the killer's neck.
That's
and
snaps
it. That's and right. So, and yeah, I will admit, snapping of the neck is one of the most unclimactic kills. Like, sure, it's personal, not close, but, like, there's not really any blood. There's not much gore. Like, maybe, I guess the film isn't trying to be super violent and all that, maybe, but if you're doing child abductions, fucking, you know, cut the throat. Give me some blood or some shit.
Yeah, I just wish that the killer's death was more, and again, a lot of these critiques are very nitpicky plot-related critiques, but you get that with almost any kind of film. But I just thought the way that the kid killed Ethan Hawke's character, I just thought it was like, I guess he could have died from that. Like, snapping the neck is extremely hard. You're better off choking someone to death than, like, it's almost I've read it's almost impossible to snap someone's neck. You're like, it's, I don't know.
You need superhuman strength, I think, or you're going to be pretty strong. And we can't all be Arnold Schwarzenegger, unfortunately.
No. But solid film, very solid film, very good film. Actually,
yeah, I enjoyed it.
I'd say, I think out of our recent reviews, probably one of my favorites that I've seen. So,
dope. Anyways, I think that's it for us today at Upcoming Attractions. Hope you enjoyed our little chat here on The Black Phone. And be sure to check out some other episodes that we've done as well. You can watch them on YouTube. You can listen on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find your favorite podcasts. And be sure to tantalize yourself with some clips on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, wherever. Until next time, I'm Matt. That's Jesse. We love you very much. Stay safe. Laters.
See you guys.